This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 404.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. If you're like most business owners I know, the idea of emailing your list every single day might seem crazy. I mean, won't people get sick of hearing from you every day? Won't you lose all of your subscribers? I mean, and how would you possibly think of enough topics to email your list every day? Well, I've recently started sending a daily email to my list and I've had some really surprising results, which I'm going to share with you in this episode. And I'm also going to give you five compelling reasons to email your list every day, or at least a little bit more often than you are at the moment. So if you're the kind of person that worries about emailing your list too often because you don't know what to say or because you're worried about annoying people, you're going to get so much value from this episode. You're going to get, as usual, practical tips, but I'm also going to challenge your thinking a little bit about the whole notion of whether it's possible to email your list too much. But before we get into the content, I just want to talk to you about something exciting I've got going on. So as I'm recording this episode, and it is rather late in the day, even by my standards, this is the day that my Instagram Success Academy goes live. So it's the day that I'm teaching my first live class. And it's so exciting for me because over the last 6 months or so, I have grown my own Instagram following by about 10,000 followers. And I've used some quite specific strategies to do that. And I've refined them along the way, but I'm going to be teaching those strategies. I've got a group of, as I'm recording this, I think I've got about 75 people going through it live. Now, if you're listening to this around the time this podcast episode goes live, which is the beginning of May 2020, then there's still time for you to jump on. You'll only have missed one live class. And if you're listening to it loads in the future, then you can still buy the course, the Instagram Success Academy. I'll put a link in the show notes. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/Instagram Success Academy. You can still come and join us. You can do the program as a standalone course, or you can come and do it. It's actually inside the premium version of my Build Your Online Audience program, which is my signature program. That's how most people do the course. But I will share with you step by step the strategies that you need to build your following. So real things that actually work. So we'll look at actually dealing with the look of your grid, because that part's really important. We'll look at what kind of content you should be posting. We'll also look at things like hashtags, how to get found. And we will look at Instagram stories and IGTV and all the different parts of the platform. And I'm going to be keeping you so accountable. So one of the first things that we do on the course is we ask you to submit some data. So numbers of followers, we ask you to give us the typical data or statistics that you get on a post in terms of like the reach and the number of comments and likes and shares and that kind of thing. So we're actually going to measure that as we go through the course. So there is no excuse for you not to make progress, because we're going to be tracking that really carefully, or we're going to be getting you to do that really, really carefully and really closely. So if you are keen to grow your Instagram following and you want to kind of stop talking about it and actually do it, then come and join me in the Instagram Success Academy. As I say, if you're listening to this episode around the time it goes live, you can still jump on and join us live. It doesn't matter if you join on class 3 or 4 or whatever, you can catch up. If you're listening well into the future, then the whole thing is available as a self-study program anyway. So yeah, I would love you to see you inside the program. It's the Instagram Success Academy, and I will put a link in the show notes. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be sharing 5 compelling reasons why you might want to email your list every day, or at least more often than you are doing right now. So first off, you will develop a regular writing habit, or if you decide to go daily, that's a daily writing habit, and that will almost certainly help you to get better at writing. And I want to share this with you. So I first got the idea to do a daily email from my friend Kennedy. So Kennedy and Rob are a duo. They've been on the show a couple of times. They've spoken at my live events. One is a hypnotist and one is a mind reader. So it's Kennedy that's a stage mind reader. But they also teach email marketing. And the way that they market themselves is, you know, they understand how to get into people's heads as a hypnotist and a mind reader. So they can help you to understand how to get you into your audience's head in your email marketing. So Kennedy shared with me quite a few years back now, I think it was. Was it a year back? I haven't known that long, but quite a while back, he shared with me that he sent this daily email. And I remember being quite surprised about it. And what I was also more surprised about, because I signed up to it straight away, was that Kennedy was dyslexic, and the reason he'd started this daily email was because he wanted to get better at writing. Now, if you've signed up to Kennedy's emails, and I will put a link in the show notes if you want to go and do that to his website, then you would be really surprised to see that he was dyslexic, or to imagine that that was the case, because his emails are stylish, they're entertaining, they're witty, they're well written. So I was just shocked when he told me that he was dyslexic. So I think that's a really powerful, compelling reason, I think. So if you're somebody that lacks confidence in any way, so whether it might be because you're dyslexic, or maybe you were told that you weren't very good at writing at school, or maybe because you've been used to writing in a kind of particular style. So I know a lot of people who've worked in corporate, they get used to writing in this kind of corporate style. And then when they come to try and write for social media, they find that their copy just bombs. It doesn't mean that you're a bad writer. It just means that, you know, it's a different style of writing. So if you've got any kind of, I guess, for want of a better way of putting it, hang-ups around your writing, then developing a daily writing habit where you just write every day, that's just what you do, is just such a powerful way to get better, and to get better quickly as well. And I've been writing professionally as a journalist for, oh God, it's like the best part of 20 years now. And I find writing really easy. To be honest, it's always been something that I've written since I was a child. But I've got better and better and better and better simply just because I do it every day. And when you're writing every day and you're editing and you're self-editing and you're being self-critical, you do just get better. And you also, because you're writing and publishing more regularly, you're also getting more feedback. So you're starting to understand what really works and what doesn't work and what resonates with people. So it's a really great thing to do just to improve your writing. And I know so many business owners who are really accomplished, really intelligent, but they really lack confidence around their writing. And if they have to write an email newsletter or a sales page, or even just write a simple social media post, they can actually, you know, just be paralyzed, and it can paralyze them for weeks and weeks and weeks. And this isn't just new business owners either, actually. I mean, I speak to quite experienced business owners all the time who tell me they feel that way. They put off sending out a newsletter for years and years. They put off starting their email list because the idea of putting their writing out there and being judged for it is just kind of paralyzing for them. As with anything, the more that you do it, the better that you will get. One of my favorite writers is the marketing writer, Seth Godin. And I know that he writes, I've read somewhere that he writes a blog post or several blog posts every single morning first thing. And I think only one of them ever sees the light of day because he reckons that the others aren't actually good enough. And if somebody who is as good a writer as Seth Godin can kind of say, well, actually, I write a number of blog posts every day and only one of them sees the light, then I think we can probably cut ourselves a little bit of slack about our own writing. So it is a way to get better. If you do anything, I think the research shows it's something like 30 days for something to become a habit as well. It just gets easier as well. So if you can stick at it for 30 days, even if you're not publishing everything as an email, even if you're just showing up and you're writing a certain number of words every day, you will get better. Like, that will happen. And I think, as with anything, it's about having a routine. You're more likely to stick at it if you do it at a certain time of day. Don't let this scare you, but I get up at 5 a.m. pretty much most days. And the first thing I do is make a coffee. Then I write my daily email. Then I write my Instagram post. Then I write any email marketing copy that I've got to write, Facebook ads. And apart from having a daily meeting that I have with my team at 10:45, I don't do any calls, I don't do any coaching, I don't do any meetings before midday, because personally, I just find that is my time. I'm kind of on fire. I can write so much copy. I write much better copy in the morning. Now, it might not be the same for you. It might well be that you're really good late at night. It might well be that there's another part of the day that you're really good, but it is about finding your time and making it regularly. Personally, I find the morning works really well for me because I find that my mind is uncluttered and I don't have any worries of the day or my mind, and there's no interruptions. I also think if you are going to send daily email, doing it in the morning is probably quite a good time to do it, because then people, you know, I try to get mine out about 7. Sometimes it ends up being 8, but about 7, because that's when people are kind of getting up and they're making a coffee and they're just kind of waking up. And it's a really good time to kind of get people's attention as well. But you could write it late at night and send it in the morning, which kind of leads me to another question or point. People have been asking me, actually, well, aren't you banking these up? Aren't you like writing loads of them in advance? And I do have in my daily email folder, I do have a bunch of, I think I've just called it like, I can't even remember what I've called it, but I've basically got a Google Doc that's got a load of copy that could be turned into social media posts or email marketing posts, that things that I think have got the potential to be turned into a daily email. I've also got a couple written up in case I'm sick and somebody in my team has to jump in and publish something for me. But personally, I really like something about it being fresh. So a few weeks ago, I had something in mind that I really wanted to write about. In fact, I told everybody I'm going to write about this thing tomorrow. It's going to be really good. And then I fell over while I was out running. Like, I'm not talking like fell over. I really hurt myself. So I tripped on a paving slab or whatever it was. And I was in a right state. I had to call my husband actually to come and pick me up because I was just bleeding so much. And I'm not even saying I grazed my hands. I cut both of the palms of my hands, my knee, my elbow. And there was so much blood dripping from me that I had to call my husband. Like, I've done that before and I've limped home, but I was about a mile from home and I just had to call my husband because there was literally blood pooling out of my hand. And it was quite interesting because the first thing I thought as I hit the ground, I'm not joking here, is, oh my God, what about my daily email? And I kind of thought, well, what am I going to do? And then when I got home, these cuts on my hands were so bad. In fact, on my right hand, I've still got, I don't know if it's scarring or something like that, but my hand is still quite sore and still quite swollen on one hand. And I think we're now about getting on for 3 weeks on since I did it. But that's what I was thinking. And my hands were bandaged up. Actually, one of my wounds got infected, so I had to have antibiotics. But my mum, who's used to be a nurse, I rang her, or FaceTimed her, and she kind of coached me through cleaning out my wounds and bandaging everything up so I didn't have to go to hospital. But I had these bandages on my hands. My hands were so, so sore. But even as I hit the ground, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to write my daily email because this was about 6 o'clock in the evening or something. So I actually was still able to type. So I still did write it, but I turned it into content. So I basically said I was going to write this email for you today about this topic, but actually I fell over and I talked about how I did actually, as I was, you know, falling to the ground, I was worrying about my daily email. But it was interesting about how, you know, we have to be, as business owners who are producing content, as Gary Vaynerchuk says, we're all kind of like owners of our own publishing houses, if you like, our own media houses. We have to be adaptable. And given what had happened to me, I was so shaken up. Like, I really, really did hurt myself. And I'm really lucky I didn't break any bones. And, it's taken a long time to heal from it. It did give me a bit of a shock. I was feeling nauseous and, oh, it was awful. But given the fact that had happened to me and it was such a big thing to happen to me, I felt like I couldn't just kind of show up and write a normal email. And I got so many lovely responses back because I was being real and I was being vulnerable and I was sharing something that had actually happened to me. And so I was able to make the point that actually, yes, we can schedule all our content and yes, we can have it all planned weeks and months ahead, but sometimes we just have to respond to what's happening. And that's very true at the moment. I think with all the COVID-19 stuff, I'm recording this, you know, as we're still on lockdown, still in the midst of this global pandemic. And I think being adaptable, so I was able to turn that into content. So that's another reason. For me, it's almost like writing a newspaper or a magazine, and I feel like I need to be responsive. But that's not to say if you're going to write a daily email that you have to write it every day or an hour before you send it out like I do. If it's more comfortable for you to write it in advance and have some banked up, that was the word I was looking for before, then great, go for it. Personally, I just feel I create better content if I create it as and when I have the idea and when I'm feeling inspired. But that might not necessarily be for you. And by the way, I'm not advocating that anybody gets up at 5 a.m. And, you know, I had somebody on Instagram actually had a bit of a go at me recently and was saying, oh, you know, you get up at 5 a.m. I'm sick of hearing about entrepreneurs getting up at 5 a.m. You know, like that's the only way that you can be successful. Actually, I could probably turn that into an email. But actually, I would be the first to say that, you know, getting up early, yes, it can help because it gives you a few hours in the morning where you're completely uninterrupted. And if you have children and, you know, like I have a daughter to get to school, although she's a bit older and more independent now, you know, it can just be that only quiet time that you get in the day. You know, there might be other times of day. You don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to be successful. It works for me. It works for Kennedy and it works for other people. But that doesn't mean that you have to do it too. But I think it is, I find first thing in the morning, I'm at my most creative because I haven't got bogged down by all the worries of the day, which is why I think it can be the perfect time to write. Okay, so that was number one, you'll develop a daily writing habit, which is a good thing to do. Number two, you'll develop a bank of content you can repurpose into other things. Now, I think this is going to blow your mind what I'm going to share with you now. I set out saying that my daily email was going to be 500 words of inspiration for business and life. And I think I say something on, I've got a little landing page for it. And it says something like, you know, I'm showing up for you with my content to encourage you to show up for your audience. And hopefully this will give you a bit of a kick up the backside in the nicest possible way for you to get out there and publish content every day. And I made this commitment to write around 500 words. And generally they have been about 500 to 700 words, and I would recommend you keep them shorter. But I just checked my Google Drive and I've racked up since I started. I haven't even been going. I think it's been about a month actually. And I've racked up 13,000 words of copy. I've already repurposed some of the copy into social media posts. When I was doing my Instagram Success Academy launch last week, I took some of the copy from my daily email because I just thought it would work as Facebook ads. And I turned it into Facebook ads. I also turned it into various social media posts and email marketing copy. So if you're somebody that finds it daunting, if you have to create, say, a series of emails for a launch or a series of social media posts or whatever, you can just dive into your daily email file. I mean, for me, it's just like a little treasure trove. And what I've done is I've created at the top of my Google Doc where I'm storing all of them, I've created a table at the top with the title of each email and the date and the focus and what the message is. So I'll just give you, I've got it in front of me actually. So I'll just give you a few examples of some of the titles. So for example, the very first one, how to be more consistent in 13 words. And I've just put a note to myself that the topic or message there is show up and do it anyway, even if you don't feel like it. I've got another one on saving your Easter eggs till Christmas. And I've put a note to myself there that the topic or the message is little and often wins the day. And the theme is audience growth. I've got another one that did really well. Leaders shouldn't talk about farts. And the message there is everyone's content bombs occasionally. Brand voice is important. So what I'm doing is I'm making a list of the title of the email, but then just recording what the message is, because that means if I'm thinking, right, I need to write a marketing email or I need to write a social media post with this particular message, and everything that I write, and I've got a class coming up this month actually on how to write delightful emails, which I'll tell you more about later. But everything that I write, I always want people just to have one takeaway point. And this is probably quite a helpful writing tip. So if you can set out to write an email or a social media post, and what's the one thing that people remember? What's the one message or the payoff, I call it? So what I've done is I've recorded the payoff or the message for each of those on my Google Doc. I've got another one here. This lady really hates me. This one did really well. And I've put a note to myself that the message there is don't be afraid to fire customers who make you feel like crap. And I've themed it as mindset. So I know that if I'm ever stuck for copy, I can just dive into this document. And this is just April. And I've probably got a ready-made social media post that I can just take out and republish on my Facebook page, on LinkedIn. You can hear that I'm excited about this. I'll tell you why that excites me so much. But I've literally got now 30-odd social media posts, emails, Facebook ads, or whatever, depending on what I'm talking about. I've just got copy that I can lift and I might need to tweak it a little bit. So that's exactly what I did for my Instagram Success Academy. I took some of the copy for Facebook ads, some for social media posts, and some for the marketing emails. And the reason that that makes me smile and makes me happy is because, I don't know about you, although I love writing, what really crushes me when it comes to writing, and so Joe, who used to support me with my Infusionsoft email marketing, she was somebody who very much wanted to be organized ahead of time, and quite rightly so. And so she would love it if we were doing a launch and I would say, I've written 8 marketing emails for this launch and I've, you know, listed them all out and I've got one of this type of email, one of this type of email and whatever. But I always found that when I was creating content like that, or I always find that it's not as inspired, because I mean, I can write to order because I was a journalist for most of my life. So I can write on demand and write to order. But I find that my best writing often comes when something just occurs to me. And I just think, you know what, I would really like to talk about that. Or that's a really good story. Or that's a really good way to make that point. So being forced to sit down and write 8 marketing emails, even though I know it's the sensible thing to do and it makes sense for everybody, like me, everybody in the team, it actually makes me feel really heavy. And I know it's not going to be my best work. I know that those emails they'll be fine because I'm an experienced writer and I'm an experienced marketer. But they won't be like if I was just out running and I had this amazing idea for an email and I ran back home and wrote it down. And I think with the daily email, because you're just writing about what inspires you at the time, you're much more likely to get copy that might turn into a really powerful social media post or a piece of email marketing. Okay, so, oh yeah, and I just wanted to add one other thing here is that I've actually repurposed, this might blow your mind as well, so some of the content I'm sharing with you right now on this podcast is actually repurposed from my daily email. So the first couple of points that I made are actually taken, the copy, because I start with a blog post and then I turn it into a podcast. I actually took the first two bullet points and I think one of the later ones straight from daily email copy. So isn't that amazing that I've been able to just take that copy and just stick it into a Google Doc and have made it into something else? So, you know, hopefully this is, I'm not saying that this will work for you exactly, but hopefully it might get your brain firing up about how you could, it's a different approach to content repurposing, I think. And for me, I'm quite a sort of a kind of creative person who likes to create things when I feel inspired, and I get quite heavy and weighed down if I think I have to kind of do something to order, even though I did it for years and years as a journalist and I can do it. But when I'm just feeling inspired because I've had a great idea, I just create much better content. Okay, so number three, you'll develop a deeper relationship with your audience. So something like a daily email, and it doesn't have to be a daily email for you, you know, it might be a weekly newsletter that you send on a Friday or something. But I've been getting so many more emails back from people who resonate with the stories and the experiences that I'm sharing in my email. And just to kind of fill you in, I guess the approach for me is almost like chicken soup for the soul. If you've ever read those books, it's like I generally share a story about something that's happened to me or something that's happened to a client or an observation, something about my life. And within that, there's a kind of message or a payoff or a lesson. And it's all kind of encapsulated in about 500 words. And there's a little kind of like call to action from each email. So I've been getting so many more emails back, and different stories will resonate with different people. So I get emails back from different people every day, which is lovely. It's not like I'm getting an email from the same super fan every day. I'm getting different emails from people who are saying that story really touched home with me because that happened to me, or that story really resonated with me because something similar happened, or because that happened to my mom or my friend. Or sometimes it's about I'm going through that right now, and actually seeing this email in my inbox, you've no idea how much better it made me feel. And what I've really realized about these daily emails is that, and with all of my content, I've really realized this in the last year or so, and particularly in the times that we're going through at the moment, is that we all just need to feel less alone. And that moment when somebody says something and say, like, oh, I feel like that as well, or somebody did that to me too, or, you know, I felt crushed when that happened. It's just so powerful for connection with your audience. So just to give you an idea, some of the emails that have done the best for me. So the one when I fell over running, I got loads of emails back from people saying, oh, I hope you're okay. And, you know, somebody said to me, oh, I fell over running once and it was awful. And the other ones I think that always do well, I find this in content, is when you share when somebody's treated you badly or you perceive that. And I had an email from a lady, I'll read it out to you actually, I've got it in front of me, who, well, it was actually wasn't an email, it was an unsubscribe message. And it was somebody who bought my media diary. And it said, your emails are constant, quite annoying and very pushy. I buy your social media diary because it's helpful. I do not expect to be literally bombarded daily. And some of them are highly inappropriate, very 80s salesy and not how the world works these days. And even for someone who is all about the business and all about the marketing and sales, verging on rude in their tone and somewhat patronizing, look at me, how wonderful I am at times. Feedback, I hope, is useful. I will buy the diary again, but please remove me from mailing and marketing lists. So I actually shared that copy, I didn't identify the person because I would never, ever do that. But I shared that copy in an email and I told the story of how I emailed that lady back. And I just said, look, I don't normally respond to unsubscribe messages, but actually I think your message was really quite mean. And I think it was a little bit over the top. And actually, I don't want to sell you a diary next year. So I've asked my team not to sell you one. Now, you might be sort of a bit of a mic drop moment, but personally, for my values, I believe that there's never any reason to be rude in business or to speak to somebody in that way. And I know there's plenty of other people that would think it was fine and think there was nothing wrong with what that lady did. But when it comes to my business and how I want to run my business, that's a line that I don't want people to cross. So I'm quite happy to lose a customer. I'm quite happy for her to go and tell people, like, you know, I told Janet Murray that her emails were patronizing and look at me, how wonderful I am. And she said that she wouldn't sell me a diary. I can live with that. That's fine. But it was interesting because I got a lot of emails back from people who said that they were really glad I'd shared that because they'd had an email from somebody that had upset them and they were interested to see how I'd handled it, even if they didn't handle it the same way. But it just made them feel better to know that they weren't the only person that had had a mean message. And the other really interesting thing that happened actually was a lady emailed me. And she said that she thought that I was really wrong to treat the lady in the way that I did and that I was spiteful and mean to say that I wouldn't sell her a diary, which was kind of fine for her to say that. So I just replied to her and, you know, it's perfectly fine for her to say that. And not to say that I was spiteful maybe, but she had this whole big thing about how I should have been more compassionate and blah, blah, blah. So I replied to her and I just said what I've just shared with you here, that actually, you know, for the kind of business that I run, and it's my prerogative to run my business according to my values, I don't find that behavior acceptable. And I don't think there's any need for it. She could have just unsubscribed from the list. She could have just said, I think I'm getting too many emails. And I don't want that kind of person as a customer. And that is my prerogative. And she also said something like, this lady is giving you, you know, helpful feedback. You should take it. And I said, no, she's not giving me helpful feedback. She's just lashing out at me. So this lady then came back to me. And this is when she started to say that I was mean and spiteful and whatever. At which point I said to her, look, actually, I think your email is a little bit mean now. I think we ought to just leave it here. And her parting shot was, don't use me as content in your email. And so, you know, really good conversation, really good interaction with people. And I was really happy for that lady to challenge me and say she disagreed with me when she started to say I was mean and spiteful. That, you know, I think that was probably crossing the line. But conversation, you know, creating content that makes people feel something that they've actually got an opinion about. And I talk about this all the time in my social media and on this podcast, but there's so much content out there that's just so bland and it doesn't make people feel anything. But actually, when you're willing to be a bit more vulnerable, not only do people connect with you, sometimes the downside, and it's only occasionally, is that people will disagree with you, but people connect. You know, there's that moment when you share a vulnerability and you share something that's kind of deeply personal to you, and maybe people weren't expecting you to be so honest about, then that's really when we connect. And as humans, you know, that's what we're trying to do all the time. We're trying to find commonality and similarity. And, you know, as Seth Godin says, like, people like us, but we want to find common ground with people. And sending a daily email, or at least a more regular email, is a chance for you to do that. A couple of other emails that did really well. So I did one recently, and this was actually, I was thinking about, so I was launching my Instagram Success Academy, and Kim in my team actually said to me, do you feel like there are people out there, like social media managers or marketing people or PR people, who would like to do your Instagram course, but they're a little bit embarrassed to do it because they don't want to be seen to not know enough about Instagram and doing a course? And I said, God, you know, that is such a good point. And I know that that's the case, because I get emails from people where they say things like, is this course going to be too basic for me? Or is this course suitable for me because I'm already, and when I check them out, I know it's suitable for them. But I thought, you know, it's no good me sending a kind of lectury email where I say, you know, there's nothing wrong with you doing training. So I had to think about how I could share it in a way that didn't feel like an attack. So I decided to share something quite vulnerable about me. And it was that I'd been hesitating. So my friend Jessica Lorimer, she has this fantastic program for selling to corporates, which is called C-Suite. And I've been really interested in signing up for it for a while, because although I've sold to corporates loads, I've worked with lots of corporates, I've never really had any formal training in it. I've not worked in corporate particularly. So I feel like I've just kind of made it up as I've gone along. And as Jess has talked to me about the course and she's talked to me about some of the materials, I've just thought that would be brilliant for me to do that. I'd love to learn more. I'd love to actually see what the proper strategies are, and then see which things I'm doing well and which things I could improve on. And I'd love to get my hands on some of the resources. And I feel that in learning that, I will be able to help in particular, my coaching clients better. And I said it to Jess already, I feel a bit embarrassed, because if I kind of go into your group and, you know, some of these people, because of my podcast and because of my presence on social media, some of these people might know who I am, and they'd be like, well, isn't Janet Murray supposed to know everything? So in my email, I shared that story and I shared that kind of vulnerability about how I felt, you know, I felt a bit embarrassed to admit what I didn't know and how silly it was. You know, it really is silly, isn't it, when you think about it, like that you won't do a course because you don't want it to look like you don't know things. Actually, I've got huge admiration for other people. Like Jess actually came and did my Build Your Online Audience program. Now, and Jess has got a seven-figure business. She's doing brilliantly, but she still recognized that there were things that she needed to learn, and she came and did my program. And I've got huge admiration for that. So in sharing that, again, I got a lot of replies from people because there was a kind of connection and a vulnerability. A couple of other things that did really well. So I did one that was entitled, What a Cowbag. And I shared a little tip on how to deal with people who give you unsolicited feedback. And a lot of people resonated with that, because I think we've all had, and that's the key thing actually, is that when you're thinking of stories to share in your emails, it's about that moment when someone goes, yeah, I totally relate to that. this has happened to me. People can see themselves in your story. So even if you haven't had the exact experience that I have, and I shared how people email me and tell me that my email marketing strategy is wrong, even though they don't have a list and have never sold anything via email marketing. Even if you haven't had that exact experience, you know what it's like to have some bozo come up and give you feedback who knows nothing about your business and nothing about what you do and kind of want to punch them in the head in the nicest possible way. So you can relate to my story and you can see yourself in my story. So that's just an example of some of the ones that have done really well. And the other thing I wanted to share as well is that, and this is something I didn't expect to happen, is that my members, so my paying members in my Build Your Online Audience program, they've been jumping into the group like pretty much every day. Someone started a post about, oh, did you see Janet's email today? This really resonated with me because, and it's different people every day because obviously different stories and different messages will resonate with different people, even though there is a sort of commonality. And there's little conversations going on in my paid membership group about the things that I'm talking about. And this is the kind of stuff, because it is more about the things I'm sharing in the daily email are probably more like mindset related and more about getting your head in the game and dealing with some of the emotional side of being a business owner, which I don't, you know, I'm all about the practical and the tactical usually. So again, another reason why I think it might have worked well is it's showing a different side to me. And I've also shared some stories about things that have happened to me, which is a little bit exclusive as well, because there's some things that I wouldn't share on social media and haven't shared on social media, but I've shared with this special group of daily email subscribers. So there's something quite nice about that as well, quite exclusive. But yeah, so there's been all these kind of conversations going on in my Build Your Online Audience program. And so I feel like I'm adding value to my paid members as well. It's really nice to be able to give them something extra and to give them something else to think about that, you know, that they can just think about and discuss in the group. So that's been an extra added bonus. So number four, another compelling reason to do it, you will sell more stuff. So if you're emailing people every day with messages that resonate with them, I put a link in every email to something that I'm selling. And I was really upfront in that. So when I started the daily email, I said, do you want to sign up to this? I emailed my whole list and then said, you know, but I will, if there is something that I think is relevant to what I'm talking about, I will tell you about it. So you've got the choice now. Don't sign up if you don't want that. And people signed up anyway. So there's a link to buy something in every email. One lady actually emailed me back and said, I'm just buying whatever it was that I'd linked to in my email. And, you know, just to show that it works. So if you can build that relationship with people and you can build that know, like, and trust, then they're not going to be offended by, you know, you're providing them with a bit of value every morning or, you know, every week or whatever you decide. They're not going to be offended if you try to sell to them. But the key thing is to be really upfront about it and say, look, if there is something that is related to what I'm talking about that I think you might find helpful, I will sell to you. And I think people are absolutely fine with that. And the last thing I wanted to share is that, and you might have picked this up already, is that writing a daily email or writing a regular email, or it could even be a social media post, it could just be posting on your page every day, is, for me, it's like a form of therapy. So I'm probably being more personal in this podcast than I've ever been, I think. Although I'm quite a, might come across as quite a, not a hard person on the surface, but quite sort of tough and tough-minded. I'm actually a really sensitive person underneath. And I wrote about this in one of my daily emails, actually. As a child, I really struggled because I used to burst into tears all the time. I was a really sensitive child and I literally would burst into tears. And I remember I had this book, this old annual that my dad had bought me, because my dad used to buy me like annuals from junk shops and like they were always like 10 years old or something. So like in the 80s, I was reading like Mandy from 1975. But I remember reading this article over and over again about how not to cry, because it was such a problem for me. I would literally, someone would say something to me and I would burst into tears. I had a really horrible year at primary school of bullying. And I'm a really, really sensitive person. I've had to learn in order to be able to manage my life. I've had to learn to manage it, as I've had to learn not to cry. And, you know, I think I've shared on the podcast a few times about times that I cry so little that sometimes if I do cry, like I can't stop for days and I get so upset by things that I can literally be, you know, I've had a couple of things that have happened to me which have upset me so much that it's taken me like a whole weekend or, you know, 3 days or something to recover, because I get so profoundly affected by what's happened and just managing my emotions. So while it might not seem like that on the surface, because I'm here with all my tips and tactics, whatever, I'm a really sensitive person. So for me, it's like therapy, like just getting to tell stories and play with language and just kind of share and work through some of the things that are actually going on in my mind. It's like therapy. So yeah, so I think that's probably a good place to finish. That's probably the most personal I've ever been on the podcast. But I hope that's given you some thoughts or just maybe inspired you to think about sending a daily email, or maybe not if daily, something more regular. And I want to just finish up, because I do like a tip, is just finish up by just giving you some tips on, if you are going to do this, how to do it right. So these are the things that I've learned, both from myself, but I've chatted a lot to Robin Kennedy, who've been doing this for years. I'd say keep it short. Kennedy's are much shorter than mine. Kennedy's are maybe like a couple of hundred words, if that. And I really like that. I find it more difficult to tell my stories in less than about 500 words, but I would keep it short, digestible, something that people can read in a few minutes. People have been telling me, and this is actually really important, because I've said this before in the podcast, if you can become a part of someone's routine, like they know your podcast comes out on a Friday, or they know that you publish a blog post on a Tuesday, that's really powerful. So people are now starting to say, oh, I read your email. It's the first thing that I do with my coffee in the morning. And that is powerful if you can become part of somebody's routine. But in order to do that, if it's really long-winded and it takes some ages to read and there's loads of graphics in it, I would say plain text. Don't have loads of graphics or anything. You know, keep it really simple. Same type of thing each day. So I've set out that it's going to be inspiration for life or business, a kind of virtual kick up the arse every day. So have a concept, and it's fine to do the same thing every day. In fact, people like that. You know, where I've been teaching people about Instagram recently, I think that's a big light bulb moment for people with Instagram, is that actually if you show up and do exactly the same thing every day, like post a picture of yourself with your beard decorated, or as I've shared on the podcast before, Paul Flart farting every day, people actually like that. And it's the same with your email. So if people know what to expect, you know, they know that you're going to show up with the same type of content every day, or that there's certain days of the week you do certain things. So Chris Taylor, who I've had on the podcast before talking about Instagram, he sends a daily email with Instagram tips. And I think on a Friday, he has certain days he does certain thing. I think he said to me that on Friday he does book tips or something like that. But if you can come up with almost like a schedule across the week, or even if you're sending just a weekly newsletter, set it up so people know what to expect, and you will generally get better engagement. Another thing I've had to think about, just to finish up with, is there will be a natural drop off. So I was getting really good open rates to start with, like 66%, 70%. Oh, and the other thing I haven't said, which is really important, obviously this has got to be an opt-in, not an opt-out. So I emailed my list and invited people to sign up to it, and I've made it really clear. And there's a link on every email to unsubscribe. If you get tired of receiving this email, please do unsubscribe. I won't be offended. And I haven't had many, I've had hardly any unsubscribes, maybe one or two a week, like really tiny amounts, but you're getting people to opt in rather than opt out. But what you probably will find, and I had a chat with Kennedy about this, I was getting some crazy open click rates to start off with, like, you know, 66, 70% open, 7 or 8% with the clicks, which is pretty good, but that's kind of dropped. And obviously you need to keep an eye. It's not dropped drastically, but it's dropped a little bit, which I think you would expect after a while, because it's not a novelty anymore. But one of the things I need to introduce over the next few weeks is a re-engagement sequence. So if somebody hasn't opened, I chatted to Kennedy about this, if somebody hasn't opened my daily email for say 7 or 8 days, and we send an automated email that says, I noticed you haven't opened it, that's absolutely fine. Totally happy to, you know, would you like to kind of come off it? Or, you know, maybe it's landing up in your spam, or maybe it's ending up in your promotions tab or whatever. So that's something that I'm going to get in place in the next few weeks or so. But obviously you do have to look at the quality of your content as well, and the quality of your subject headers. And that's one of the things why I enjoy it so much, because it's just so interesting to see what people resonate with what they don't. My email today, actually, as I'm recording this, is about how I bought a Peloton, one of those kind of fancy fitness bike things. And how clever the Peloton people are. Like when you do a class, like my favorite instructor is this lady called Robin. And she just kind of like, she says all this stuff like, you know, you're part of the Peloton family and you belong here. This is your place. This is your time. And how, even though I'm the most cynical British person ever, I'm like whooping along with Robin and all that stuff. But yeah, it's really important for you just to kind of really keep a close eye on what people are engaging with, what they're not. And the point I was making there, actually kind of lost my thread, was that one's already had quite a few replies. And so it's a kind of balancing up, you know, is it that your content's not as good as it was, or do you need to improve the subject headers? So there's always lots of factors that come into it, but I think there will be a natural drop off where it becomes less, you know, bit of a novelty. People, you know, read it every day for the first few weeks. Some people will turn into kind of diehard fans. Other people will get bored of it. And I think that's quite normal. But the key thing is you don't want to keep sending the email to those people, because that will damage your credibility with your email service provider, and will mean that, you know, it will basically, the more people that open and engage with your emails, the more people that will receive them, and the less content that will end up going into spam or whatever. And also you're paying for those people, you're paying to send emails to those people who may not actually be that interested. So that's turned into a longer episode than I thought it was going to be, but hopefully it's been helpful. And like I say, you know, it may well be that starting a daily email is just, it's just not on your agenda, but I hope it's really inspired you to think about how you could email more often and what you could say and what the benefits could be for doing that. And as ever, I love hearing from you. Do get in touch with me. Instagram's usually the best place. So contact me at JanMurrayUK. I do love hearing what you've picked up from the podcast, what your biggest takeaway is. It's always lovely to hear from you. So I hope you found that episode useful. If you like the sound of my daily email, if you like the sound of having a little bit of inspiration for life and business in your inbox every single day and a gentle kick up the backside to make sure that you show up for your audience, I would love you to subscribe. So head over to janetmurray.co.uk/daily email. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/daily email. And as I said in the episode, if you decide it's not for you, you can unsubscribe at any time.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.